Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one about any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Transfiguration Sunday. It's a difficult one to understand, perhaps, why the people who put together the Chosen series decided not to even try to depict this. How do you explain what was being seen up on that mountain? Our other readings attempt to explain some of it by referencing what happened when Moses went up the mountain to see God, to talk with God, to be given God's commandments for the people. That face to face with the glory of God, some of that reflected light fell upon Moses so that his face was shining when he went down from the mountain. He had to take some of that glory, some of that radiance with him down to the people. But seeing it, the people were frightened, which is why he had to put a veil over his face. We're told in our lesson from 2 Corinthians that that veil exists between understanding the radiance, the glory of God. That veil exists until you see Jesus. Because Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the prophets. He is a greater than Moses. He's a new Moses, but greater than Moses. What Moses did in part, Jesus does in full. And the same is true of Elijah, another individual who encountered God on a mountaintop, the greatest of the prophets. And yet Jesus is greater still. So we're told that when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, the understanding comes. When one sees the radiance of Christ, and one can understand the radiance of God. This is the end of the season of Epiphany. We began the Epiphany season with the acknowledgement that God became flesh and came to dwell among us in the person of Jesus. On Transfiguration Sunday, we see that flesh is God in the person of Jesus. So it's a bookending of this season to acknowledge that Jesus was truly God, Jesus is truly man, a concept that our human minds simply cannot understand. And yet we try, year after year, to understand. This morning, when I came in to have my quiet time, and I need to do that in order to focus myself for worship, I looked at the stained glass window that we have, and I sit here at all hours of day and night. When I left last night, everything was dark, and I couldn't see any part of that picture. When I came in this morning, there was light in back of it, and the light was shining so that it was illuminating the face of Jesus. At other times, I've been here, and there's a light from behind that makes the robes glow as though they are mother of pearl. We need the light in order to see what's there. So this morning, as I looked at it and saw what this artist was able to do, to know that at times I can sit right there where you are and look at those rays coming down into the face of Jesus and see them glow, because that's how the artist has constructed this piece of artwork. And it needs the light in order for us to see it. Because, of course, this is not Jesus here. This is a picture depicting what Jesus would have been experiencing in the Garden of Gethsemane as he's praying. But for me, it helps to remind me of the need for light. Epiphany is a season of light. As our readings illuminate who Jesus is, who is this person that we call the way, the truth, the life, the light of the world? In our readings, we come to know him more and more deeply. In today's reading, deepest of all, the acknowledgement that he is true God, true man. That in one package we have better than any of the Old Testament prophets, better than Moses. That he is the light that illuminates God's word to us. Peter, James, and John were able to experience this mountaintop experience. And Peter, being Peter, has to blurt out the first thing that he thinks of. Lord, it is so good for us to be here. Let us construct 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Let us stay on this mountain. And of course, that couldn't occur. How wonderful it would have been to stay on that mountain, to feel that radiance, to feel the power of God. But that's not where life is lived. It's not lived up on the mountaintop. It's lived in the valley below. So they have this mountaintop experience. We're told in Luke's gospel that Moses and Elijah are talking to Jesus about his departure. The word also means his exodus. That Jesus knows the time is short. Jesus knows what is going to happen in Jerusalem. He's already told the apostles what is going to happen. Oh no, Lord, let's just stay up on this mountain. Let's not go down below. Let's not go to Jerusalem. Let's not see you die. And that's not to be. But that mountaintop experience was probably one in which Jesus found the strength for the dark days ahead. They go down the mountain, and what do they encounter? They encounter life once again. The disciples who've been left behind have been given the power to heal. And a man comes with his son, his only child, in need of healing. And the disciples can't do it. They're probably looking up the mountain, wondering when Jesus is going to come back and do it for them. And it is to them that I believe Jesus addresses his words. You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? I don't think that's being addressed to the Father. I don't think that's being addressed to the crowd. It's being addressed to the disciples who, for some reason, were unable to fulfill the mission that they had been left with. And he looks at them and wonders, how much longer? Because I don't have that much longer with you. He knows that when he leaves, someone needs to take over for him. He's been training the 12. He's been training the others who've been following him to take over for him when his time to go occurs. And here they failed. And he shows them how to do it. We're told that all are astonished at the greatness of God. It's in the valley that life occurs. It's in the valley that we live now. We've been charged to do the work of God, to be God's hands, God's feet in the world. We've seen some of his glory. Just like Moses, we need to take some of that light into the world with us. It needs to reflect into the dark places of the world. Because the picture is there, just like the stained glass window. It's there, but it needs light. It needs the light that we can bring. When I was reading one commentator, she closed her remarks with these words, which I think were telling. It's her charge. As Peter speaks, Elijah and Moses leave, and a crowd of glory shrouds them all. Glory is gone from a bright glow to a darkening mist that surrounds them. A voice booms, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Listen to Jesus, their rabbi, who has taught them the true fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Listen to Jesus, their Messiah, who has told them that the way to life is death through the cross. Listen to Jesus, the Father's Son, who is God's beloved chosen one, and whom they've seen in glory. Listen to Jesus, and we too will know the glory of the Father through the Son. Listen to Jesus, and we too will shine with lives full of his glory. Listen to Jesus, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. So see the light of Christ and be the light of Christ to a darkened world. Amen.